I am always humbled by that song because it takes me back to the time in which I first sung it with the brethren. And the hymn is so relevant and apropos because if we don't love one another the way that God has taught us to love, then we will use angry words. And those words can hurt. Those words can actually do more harm than good. And so I appreciate our dear brother for leading us in that song, and hope, pray, and trust that the things that we talk about on tonight will be beneficial, and that it will help us as we continue to experience the greatness that is in Galatians. It has been a great study for myself and has caused me to ponder and look and to reinforce my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the new covenant. There is no confusion whatsoever in my mind on what covenant we're under today as people, as humanity. I'm reminded of a few passages before we get started on tonight, and I'm considering passages like John 1:17, where Jesus said on one occasion, "For the law came by Moses, the grace, the truth came by Jesus Christ." And so there is a distinction between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And then it makes me think about what Paul said in Ephesians 2:11-14, as it relates to Jesus Christ and how he broke down that middle wall of partition that was between the Jews and the Gentiles, and how God, through the peace offering of Jesus Christ, if you will, brought the Jews and the Gentiles into one body. That one body is the church of Christ, as Paul would say in Ephesians 1:22-23. I said all that to say this, because if we're going to authentically walk in the Spirit, if we're going to be genuine as we walk according to the Spirit's teaching, then we have to completely understand that we are under the law to Christ today. And the very fact that our God and Father, as he was working through the Old Testament, and then Jesus, as he is working to bring forth the New Testament, and now we're under the law of the Spirit, and the law of the Spirit is speaking those things that the Son and the Father has outlined in Scripture. And so on Sunday, we talked about one gospel, no confusion. And we know that there is no confusion at all because of what Paul said in Galatians 1:6, where he says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that would trouble you and would pervert," meaning they would alter your way of thinking, pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I didn't say something on the other day that I think is worthy of us talking about right now. Paul would go on to say that, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed." Which demonstrates to us that it is important for us to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached in its entirety, and it must be preached in its accuracy. And so this is why when we think about the book of Galatians and we think about how we're supposed to be the people of God doing his will, there is great greatness in the book of Galatians. But then we talked about authentically walking straightforward, and how this book continues to build as Paul is rebuking Peter to his face because of his hypocrisy. And the Bible demonstrates to us that the Jews and even Barnabas was carried away by this hypocrisy or dissimulation. And so Paul gets on him because of this, and he could have split the church right in half. He could have caused the church to be a Jewish church and a Gentile church, and that's not right. And the reason why it wasn't right, because it was Jesus Christ that broke down that middle wall of partition, that balustrade wall that actually divided the Jews and the Gentiles. And here, Jesus, as he rents that, he brings them into one body, and that one body, well, it's about the Jews and the Gentiles now being one church. But then we talked about when God preaches the gospel. And we consider Genesis or Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And we went back to the time in which God preached to Abraham, according to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, with those great promises that he gave. And we saw how the book of Galatians was continuing to build. And as it built, we realized that the law of Moses was designed as a tutor to bring the Jews to Christ. And that's exactly what it did. I was talking to Brother Kevin today, and I made a comment to him. I said, the Apostle Paul knew for a fact that the Old Testament system, the Old Testament law, the law of Moses had to lead him to Christ because Christ was the end of the law. Romans 7 and verse number 4. So as he is reading the law of Moses, and as Jesus stops him on that road to Damascus, and Ananias preaches the gospel to him, then as Ananias told him, why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, that's exactly where the law of Moses was going to lead him. It was going to lead him to Christ, and that's where he ended up in. He ended up in Christ. And last night, we talked about children of the free woman. And we saw the compare and contrast between Hagar and Sarah, between the Old Testament law of Moses and the New Testament law of the Spirit. And we were demonstrating that because it was so important for us to realize, as Paul is constructing this argument, as he is calling them, oh, foolish Galatians, how did you have yourself to be befuddled or to be fooled, if you will? And as Paul is building that argument, he really, in my personal opinion, with Galatians chapter 4, 21 through 31, That was the nail in the spiritual coffin, because Hagar and Sarah is used as object lessons that you're not under the bondwoman, you're under the free. You're not under the bondage, you're under free. And the more that I thought about this, even today, the bondwoman was a representation of the flesh, and the free woman, Sarah, was a representation of the spirit. Which caused me to think about, if we consider Galatians 5 and we allow the text to just easily and slowly just go into chapter 5, friends, we wouldn't have some of the conclusions that we have as relates to the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit dwelling in a person and teaching them and guiding them without the Word of God. Because the context is just going to lead you. If I am in the first century and I am being fooled by the Judaizing teachers, and Paul comes up with these arguments that you're not under the flesh, you're not in bondage, but you're under the spirit, you're free, then what am I free from? I'm free from the law of sin and death. Then what is the spirit doing? He's guiding me. How is he guiding me? Through the word of God, the law of the spirit. And we'll prove that. But chapter 5 is actually so encouraging. Look at Galatians 5, verse 16 through verse number 23. In Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse number 16, as we begin our thoughts concerning authentically walking in the Spirit, I say then, walk or live in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. It's like oil and water, they don't mix. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things, watch this, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, you notice I didn't say fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, notice what Paul says by inspiration right here. Against such there is no law. We'll talk about that. And those who are Christ, not Moses, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice how he says that. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. May the Lord have the blessings on the readers and the hearers and the doers of his word. I won't keep you long tonight. And the reason why is because when I think about Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through the end of the chapter, Paul, as he is beginning his crescendo, as he has already established his arguments, this is about living righteously, living according to the Spirit's teaching. As Paul would tell the church at Rome in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, turn your Bibles there real quick. In Romans chapter 8, after he had just talked about himself, most likely being under the law and how the law could not help him, if you will, if he had sinned against that law. And he says, "O wretched man that I am, who?" He didn't say what. "Who shall deliver me from this body," or this body of death? But then he says something that's very interesting. He says, "I thank God," in Romans 7 verse 23, "through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus," notice the location, "who do not walk according or live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." According to the flesh? What is he talking about there? I believe he's talking about the law of Moses, but according to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. How do we know that? Look at verse number 2. There in verse number 2, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." Hold on, the law of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit has a law? Yes, it is the law of Christ. And when we think about the Spirit's law, we said earlier, we had Jehovah God as he works through the Old Testament, as he works through his Son, as he brings in the New Testament, as he dies on the cross, and that old system, that old law is gone, Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14. And now they send the Holy Spirit, John 14, 26, John 15, 26. He and his Father, they send the Holy Spirit, and Jesus would say something about the Holy Spirit, about him coming, and he will not speak of himself, Isn't that interesting that when the Holy Spirit came, he didn't speak of himself, but he spoke of the Christ. He spoke of the Father. And then Paul says by inspiration that when we walk according to the law of the Spirit, it is those who are not walking according to the flesh. Keep it in its context. He's not talking about living in sin per se. He's talking about living under that system of Moses, the law of Moses. And he's making this point. And as he makes this point, he allows them to see that we're under the law to Christ, the law of the Spirit. So we're not under the law of Moses today, even though some in the denominational realm believe that we're under the law of Moses. We're not under the law of Moses. We're under the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ. And Paul would say by inspiration in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 20 and 21, we're under the law to Christ. We listen to Jesus. And so we, as the people of God, are tasked to live spiritual lives based upon the Spirit's teaching, based upon the law of the Spirit, based upon the law of Christ. And we're to strive to be examples of righteousness to a crooked and perverse generation, to a dark world. And no wonder Jesus would say on one occasion, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're that city that is set upon a hill. Men shall see your good works and watch this flounder and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so when they see Christ living in us, the hope of glory, they say, to God be the glory. And that's what we say as well. And so we're lights in this world, but we're only lights because of the Spirit's teaching. We're only lights because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're only lights because of the Father's great plan. So Paul would charge the Ephesian brethren to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the light, to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? The days are evil. And we have the responsibility today, as the children of God, as Christians, as members of the Lord's church, to walk according to the Spirit's teaching. Simply, as Jesus would say, that my words are spirit and they are life. We have the responsibility to walk according to the New Testament. We're New Testament Christians. Can you imagine bringing a whole group of people to Christ? And then you have these Judaizing teachers, these Jewish men who had obeyed the gospel, but they still clung to that law of Moses. And now they're imposing this upon the Jewish Christians and some of the Gentile Christians. Can you imagine that? Paul teaching them the gospel. Can you imagine? He said, you're going to allow them to fool you like this? Why would you do that? I've taught you the gospel. I taught you the truth. And you are allowing these false teachers to come in and change your way of thinking as it relates to simple things such as being either under the law of Moses or the law of Christ. And so with that being said, we have to ask ourselves a question. What did we learn this week? Are we under the law of Moses this week? Or are we under the law of Christ? Do we believe that we're under the law of Christ today? Is this even possible to know that we're under the law of Christ today? Is it even possible for us to do good under the law of Christ today? Why would Paul say in Galatians 5 and verse number 1, turn there, why would he say this to the good brethren here? Why would he say, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage? Because at one time they were under the law of Moses, but they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ was the end of the law unto salvation. And now these teachers come in again and they're putting you under the law of Moses, and we're not under that law. He said, we're under the law of Christ. We're under the law of freedom, not freedom to sin. Well, Paul would even deal with that, brethren, in Galatians 6, verse number 1 and following. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. And so just because I'm free in Christ doesn't mean that I'm free to sin. That's false. The freedom that we have is that we're not under the yoke of bondage as it relates to the law of Moses. Now watch this, friends, that could not take away sin. That's the point right there. How do we know that? Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, in verse number 1, for the law, talking about the law of Moses, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices, watch this, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect, whole. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshiper once purified would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, this is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. And so the Levitical system was designed to look forward to the system or the law of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. And no wonder Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law. But verse number 5, to redeem those who are under the law. So here, God knew that he was going to forgive all men's sins when his son died on that cross. Wow. Hold on. God, you waited almost 4,000 years to forgive men of their sins? Yes, because my son was going to crush the head of the serpent. Yes, my son was going to be the one that was going to cleanse their conscience from dead works. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. My son was going to put men in a position where they can now serve me. Romans 7 and verse number 4. And so the Jews had to humble themselves and they needed to let go of the law of Moses because God let go of the law of Moses when Jesus said it's finished. It's done. So I said all that to say this. When we think about the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit, what does it mean to authentically walk in the Spirit? It literally means to have the mind of Christ. Young people, how is your mind? Do you have your mind or do you have Christ's mind? Husbands, do you have the mind of Christ or your mind? Wives, do you have the mind of Christ or your mind? Brethren, do we have the mind of Christ or our mind? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16 again, where he says, walk in the Spirit. Now, notice this, brethren. Notice the assurance that the Apostle Paul gives the brethren here at Galatia. He gives them the assurance that if you walk in the Spirit, guess what will not happen? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't walk in the Spirit and walk or commit the works of the flesh at the same time. It can't happen. It won't happen. I can tell when I'm not walking according to the Spirit's teaching. How can you tell, Mike? I'm doing things I have no business doing. But when I am doing what God says, when I am doing what Christ says, when I am doing what the Spirit says, when I am doing what the Word of God says, the Apostles' doctrine, I am walking according to the Spirit's teaching. And it is the same as walking in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7. We understand that the Word of God, Psalm 119, 105, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so with this being said, notice Galatians 5 verses 1 through 6. What will walking in the Spirit look like? It is a spiritual mind. Verses 1 through 6, it literally helps us to guard against falling away. If you are walking in the Spirit tonight, you don't have to worry about falling away. But if you begin to be like Peter and step back from Jesus, you're on your way to walking away from God. And in Galatians 5 and verse number 4, he even tells them that you ran well. What happened? Now you're falling away. Can you fall from grace? Yes, You can fall from grace. Some of our denominational friends tell us, you can't fall from grace. Once you're saved, you're always saved. That's false. And we know it's false because Demas left for this present world. Friends, to walk in the Spirit literally means to have a spiritual mindset. In verse number 7, notice it promotes running well. He said, you ran well. Something happened. You ran well. Verses 13 and 14, it cultivated service to one another in love. When one is walking according to the Spirit's teaching, guess what it does in the heart of the child of God? It actually cultivates service to one another. You can tell when someone is actually walking according to the Word of God, the law of the Spirit, they want to serve others. Jesus would say this in John 13, verses 1 through 13. And after he washes his disciples' feet, he said, I left you an example. You do it to one another. I left you this example. Do it to each other. Do you want to be a servant or do you want to be served? The spiritual mind wants to serve, but we know that we reap what we sow, so we have to humble ourselves and allow people to serve us too. And so the spiritual mind, what it does, according to verse number 15, it eliminates, notice, biting and devouring one another. Now, I'm bringing these little points out because when I think about what Paul is saying here, these brothers here, they needed some encouragement. They've gotten so far away from the law of Christ that Paul had to literally tell them that you're falling from grace. You ran well. You're not serving one another. And now you're biting and devouring one another. When you're walking according to the Spirit's teaching, when you're walking according to the law of Christ, then you are guarding yourself against those things. But look at verses 16 through 18. And notice what he says here. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm walking according to the Spirit's teaching, if I'm walking according to the law of Christ, I'm not fulfilling the law of Moses. That's one way to look at it. If I'm walking according to the law of the Spirit, I'm not walking according to the works of the flesh. That's another way to look at it. Both of them are right. How do we know that? If you put it in its first century context, Paul is letting them know you can't be walking according to the law of Moses. Why? Because you're under the law of Christ today. You're under the law to the Spirit today. And so this is why he says, walk, live, traverse in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now notice what he says, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under, notice, the law. You can't be under both, he says. If I'm going to be spiritual, if I'm going to do what God will have me to do, then I know for a fact right now that I'm to listen to Jesus, not Moses. I'm reminded on one occasion where I was listening to a lesson. Johnny Ramsey was commenting on Acts chapter 3. Turn there real quick. It's a powerful point that he made in Acts chapter 3. Because some say, well, we need to be listening to Moses. Well, hold on, because even Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, that we need to be listening to one that is going to come up from among you. He's a prophet like unto me. Hear him. And anyone who doesn't hear him shall be cut off. Well, in Acts chapter 3, we see something very interesting. In verse number 22, notice what he says here. In verse number 22, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel to those who followed, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you, now watch this, brethren, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Who was Moses talking about? He was talking about Jesus. People want to listen to Moses today. We're following Moses today. Well, hold on. Even Moses said you need to follow Jesus. Even Moses said you need to listen to Jesus. And Jesus, as he speaks on behalf of his Father, because he and his Father are one, he and his Father have the same purpose, to save man from their sins. And with this being said, here come the Holy Spirit. And what is he doing? He's guiding the apostles into all of the truth, which is called the apostles' doctrine. And we have the responsibility today to walk according to the Spirit's teaching. And when I walk according to the Spirit's teaching, I am walking in the Spirit. That's simple, brethren. Let's not make it hard. Just because the denominational world won't hocus pocus doesn't mean we ought to want it too. Get in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. The Word of God is not going to get in your heart unless you spend time with the Word of God. You have to be like Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, where Samuel did not allow the Word of God to fall to the ground. And how did God reveal himself unto Samuel? He revealed himself by the Word of God. So how do we know that we're led by the Spirit? I spend time with the Word of God, and I apply the Word of God to my life. That's how I know that I have the mind of Christ. That's how I know I'm led by the Spirit of God. And so here, Paul, as he makes this argument to them, he gives them argument after argument after argument, letting them know that you can walk according to the Spirit's teaching, and you should. If you go to Galatians 5, look at verse 21. In Galatians 5, 21, he says even more. He just goes on and on and on and on. In Galatians 5, verse number 21, notice what he says. Verse 21, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like. Now watch this, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hold on. If I'm walking according to the Spirit's teaching, then I'm going to inherit the kingdom of God. But if I'm not walking according to the Spirit's teaching, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. It is so important for us to understand that and know that. Paul, as he makes these arguments and he's letting them know that you're led by the Spirit of God, don't have time to deal with this, but put this in your notes. Romans chapter 8, 12 through 18. As it relates to how do I know I'm being led by the Spirit of God? I know that I'm being led by the Spirit of God when I put away sinful deeds. I know that I'm being led by the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God teaches us through his word that I'm a son of God. I know that I'm being led by the Spirit of God because I can now call God Father, Abba. I know that I am a son of God or walking according to the Spirit of God because I can know that I belong to God, because the only way that I can know that I belong to God, the Spirit has to bear witness with my spirit. God's word teaches me that I'm a child of God. Do you know that there are some, they don't even know if they're saved or not? That's so sad, because John, right, I write these things unto you that you may know that you're saved. You can know you're saved. And Paul, only thing he's getting them to see is that you are a son of God. You are led by the Spirit of God because you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ and an heir of God. And so being spiritual is so important, and it is vital to our spiritual well-being. So let me ask you this question. How healthy are you tonight? But I'm not talking about your physical health. I'm not talking about your physical health. I'm talking about your spiritual health. Are you reading God's word? Do you love God's word? Do you meditate upon it? Do Do you apply it? Do you share it with others? Can people see it in you? How do I know if I'm being led by the Spirit of God? How do I know if I'm led by the law of the Spirit? How do I know if I'm having the mind of Christ? As Paul is getting on these brethren at Galatia, he's hurt. He's bothered. Because they're trying to operate by two different covenants. Now, we may not struggle in that department. Members of the Lord's church may not struggle as it relates to being on the law of Christ and the law of Moses. But there is a struggle at times from the pulpit to the back pew that this is the law of the Spirit. This is the law of Christ. This is the covenant of Christ. But sometimes I operate by my own covenant. I operate by my own law. I do my own thing. It happens from the pulpit to the back pew. It happens. And so we may not have the same situation as it relates to the different covenants. But rest assured, we have to battle within our own heart too, our own mind. Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to our God who sent his son and now he speaks to his son? Or are you going to listen to everybody but him? And so, look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The works of the flesh. If I could sum it up in one statement, the works of the flesh are when you reject God. In a nutshell, when God is rejected, the works of the flesh are acted out. We see sexual sins, they're committed. We see sins of spiritual digression, sorcery. We see sins of selfishness, adultery, fornication. We see all of these things, sins of separation, sins of stupidity, drinking. We see all these different types of sins. And Paul would say that these are the works of the flesh, but he says something that's interesting. He says, and they're evident, they're clearly seen. We're in a time now where people are not sure what's a sin. We're in a time now we don't even know what a woman is. What is a woman? I don't know. Well, if we can't know, then God lied. Because we have the works of the flesh. But then you got the opposite. You have the fruit of the Spirit. That which the Spirit produces. One fruit, nine characteristics in that fruit. I believe that's worthy of us talking about. But when we think about the works of the flesh, we see biblical examples of sinful works all through the New Testament. We see categories of sins. Don't have time to look at these, but in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 11, we see that we shouldn't keep company with this category of sin. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, these will not inherit the kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 3, we see that some have departed from the faith. And in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9, these will follow their own folly. Brethren, when you go back and you look at these things, here, God has given us, these are the sins. But it's very interesting, and such like. And in Ecclesiastes 7:29, which I think is very important that I give you this passage. Solomon said one thing that I found, lo, that God hath made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. We're coming up with stuff now. We're inventing things now. There was a time in the days of Jeremiah that the people of God were doing things that never even came in the mind of God. We're doing things now. We're just coming up with a whole bunch of stuff now. And if we're not careful, we won't be able to identify what's God's will or the will of man. So why does sin reign?
Sin reigns because we're not controlling our lust and passions. Sin reigns because we're not abstaining from fleshly lust at war against the soul. Sin reigns because every man is drawn away by their own lust and they're not controlling themselves. And when we talk about lust, we're not talking about sexual sin. We're talking about anything that takes me away from God. We're talking about anything that takes my or distracts me from doing the will of God. Don't you know that there are some things that we do sometimes? They're not according to the law of the Spirit, which means that it may be an opinion. Maybe I'm doing some things like playing video games. Nothing wrong with video games, but it is something wrong with it if that's all you do. Why is that? Because we have the responsibility as Christians to rear up our children and nurture in the admonition of the Lord and to tell them or show them and teach them that they must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Friends, anything can be wrong if we do too much of it. That's not according to the Spirit's teaching. But look at verse 22 and 23. Walking authentically with God produces spiritual fruit. Now you would think I would want to start with 22 and 23. But I really want to start at verse number 24. And I want to work my way down and work my way back up. Now, we sung about 3 or 4 songs. And I appreciate that. But I'm going to have to keep y'all to 9 o'clock. I won't do that. I'm tempted, but I won't do that. Look at verse 24, and we're going to come back up to verse 22 and 23. And the reason why is because of this. And those who are Christ, now watch this, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He's not talking about the law of Moses there. He's talking about the works of the flesh there. How do we know that? Passions and desires. There was nothing wrong inherently with the law of Moses according to Romans 7 verse 12. However, it was no longer binding at this time and is no longer binding today. And so notice what he says in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. If we look closely at verse number 25 or 24 rather, walking with Christ naturally crucifies the flesh and its passion and desires. Which means that I'm setting my affections on things that are above. I'm seeking assistance from my brethren, and they're helping me to be faithful. Oh, yes, I need my brothers to help me be faithful. I need accountability. I need someone to say, Mike, you're doing a good job. I need someone to say, Mike, you need to do better. I need someone to help me. We're not in this by ourselves, brethren. God created the church. We're a family. It's checks and balances. It's accountability. And I know we live in a time where people say, well, you can't tell me what to do. Okay, fine. But I do know this. You can't live amongst people and always get it right. You need someone that's going to help you. And if you look at verse 25 closely, this is what I wrote. Two things are in this passage. If we live in the Spirit, going back to verse number 18, in other words, it is the law of Christ. If the law of Christ or the law of the Spirit is leading us, not the law of Moses, then behave according to the Spirit. Since we're living according to the law of the Spirit, then walking in the Spirit will produce the fruit of the Spirit, going back to verse number 16. Now, go back to verse 22 and 23. Now, notice what he says here, friends. He says, now the fruit of the Spirit, or but the fruit of the Spirit, and he lists off these great characteristics. How do I know that I have these characteristics? Love, what is it? Seeking the highest interest of another. Joy, what is it? It's gladness and cheerfulness. Notice I didn't say happiness. That's not part of the definition. You know, sometimes we seek to be happy. But sometimes you can go through this life and not be happy at all. You know, I'm not happy when my wife and I are not getting along with each other. It don't happen often, but what it doesn't make me happy. But it doesn't take my joy away. My parents are getting old. One day, I know if I don't die before them, they're going to die before me. It's not going to take my joy away, because my joy is not based upon outward circumstances. It's based upon what God's will says. It's based upon what the Holy Spirit says through his word, the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, the hope of eternal life, joy, gladness, cheerfulness, peace. It's the blessed state of the soul. Long-suffering, endurance, forbearance, actually hanging in there when you want to give up. Kindness, moral goodness, integrity, goodness, uprightness of heart and life, faithfulness, trustworthiness, reliability. Hold on. The fruit of the Spirit, one of those things is faithfulness. A person that is trustworthy, a person that is reliable. Yes, if anybody ought to be trusted, it ought to be a child of God. It ought to be a Christian. It ought to be one that is walking according to the Spirit's teaching, gentleness, meekness, mildness. Now, one thing I do know, according to Matthew 24, verse number 12, if we're not careful, don't you know, because of lawlessness, and it is going forward, it is going forth, it is running rampant. Jesus said that even the elect, their hearts are going to grow cold. Friends, we got to be careful. We got to stay in the word of God. We got to stay according to the Spirit's teaching. Self-control, one who masters his or her desires. But look at verse number 23 as I close. It says, against such, Kevin, what does it say?
There is no law.
Jason Christian, do you know I can love you as much as I want to, and there's nothing you can do about it? Flunder, I can love you as much as I can love you as much as I want, there's nothing you can do about it. I can have as much joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. So I can do this as much as I want. And God says, there is no cap on it. I see why many are just so frustrated, because they put a cap on these things. I know how it is. I get it. From the pulpit to the back pew, I get it. I get it. I ain't no better than anyone else, okay? I get it. Because there are some folk that drive you absolutely batty, sometime in your house, sometime in the church, sometime in the world. You'd be like, you know what, man, I ain't forget him. Let him run up on me, boy, I'm going to get him. That's that mentality. Be like, and God is saying, bring it down some. Walk according to my son's teaching. And because I love God and I love his son and I love his word, I said, I will. Like Peter, when Jesus told them to cast their net on the right side for a catch. And Jesus and Peter said, we toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. And when he did it, he caught a lot of fish. Here's my point. Galatian brethren, don't submit yourselves to a law that Christ nailed to the cross. And don't allow these false teachers, these Judaizing teachers, to befool you or bewilder you or cause you to go back. Don't do that, because you're going to fall from grace. The law came by Moses. Grace, truth came by Jesus Christ. Stay in there. My exhortation to you, walk according to the Spirit's teaching no matter what. No matter what. Life is tough. The Christian is tougher. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And God created the church for us to work hard in it, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. And he proved with his son that if we follow him, we too can do hard things. Oh, yes, we can do hard things. I know the world says you can't. But Paul, by inspiration, if I can use it in this way, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. I understand the context, but the principle still stands that if I know that I can do all things because of his word, keeping it in his context, is nothing that I can't get through. I can do it. But if I listen to people who's telling me that I can't, that ought to be motivation for me to say that I can, especially if the Spirit is teaching us through the word that I can. Get it done. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to obey the gospel. We want you to consider believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And watch this. And God will do something amazing in your life. God, what you gonna do? I'm gonna forgive you for everything you've done wrong. I'm not going to remember it at all. I'm going to cast your sins as far as the east to the west. I'm not going to remember it at all. But I need you to do something. God, what do you need me to do? I need you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow my son. And I need you to be faithful even unto death. And my son's going to say something beautiful to you. Well, what is your son going to say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, I make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. That's what you want to hear. I promise you, if you don't hear those words, it's going to be a bad day that day. Because what you're going to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. We don't want to hear those words. Perhaps you're a child of God, you need special prayer. Let us help you. Matter of fact, I'll start with this one. Y'all pray for me. And so whoever has prayer, y'all pray for me. As we stand, as we sing and say, Lord.